Let's go to Revelation chapter 5 real quick. Wow, I was just holding this today in my heart, and I was just meditating around the strength of God, and it just feels. See, the power of God, the creative power of God is for the world, but the strength of God is for you. Amen? Glory to God. He'll strengthen you tangibly. If you know where to pray, how to pray, what to pray. Amen? Praise the Lord forever. Revelation chapter 5, and they sang a new song, the elders saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, verse 9, and open the seals thereof. Oh, that's not where I want to be. Verse 12, saying in a loud voice, Worthy, say worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And after he was slain and upon his resurrection, what did he receive? We call this the seven inheritances. Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. Worthy is the Lamb to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. So he received this, right? So he was really honest. He goes, listen, I received this for you. I received the Father's promises for you. He goes, I had all this. And he started just going down into Genesis and creation and showing me what he had before he gave all this. I'll share a little bit about dunamis, because the first word power is dunamis in the Greek. You really, really need to get a revelation of dunamis. Amen. That was the first inheritance. He said, behold, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. The Holy Spirit was the first thing he brought with him. Power. Dunamis. Say dunamis. Now, Jesus, now I want you to go to John, if you would. John chapter 1, Big John, Gospel of John. I'll show you something here. Very powerful, because he kept saying it to me. He goes, you need to understand, I did this for you. I didn't do it for me. I did it for you. See, we don't have a problem when the Lord's receiving something. It's just how we get to receive it. We have to receive it. He goes, I did it for you. I did it for you. I had this before. Now watch this. I'm going to take you into Genesis, and then we're going to come back into Revelation. We're going to do a little circle here. It's going to be powerful. Okay, so John 1. So John 1, it said, in the beginning was what? The Word. That was Jesus. He was called the Logos before he took on the nature of Abraham and man. He became a man, and name was Jesus. But he was beginning, he was the Word. It was the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Spirit. Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God the Father. And the Word was God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The same was in the beginning with the Father. And so look at verse 3. All things, say all things, were made by who? By who? By who? The Word. All things were made by the Word, the Logos. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Even you were made by the Word. God fashioned us out of the dust of the ground. We're not just dust, though. He breathed in us. Amen? He also, something else. So we see the Logos now as the Word. We see him as the Creator, right? He created all things in the beginning. All right, now, let's go real quick to Romans. That's another word we're going to be in Romans too. All this kind of just dropped in me here. Last second. Romans 1, verse 20. Okay, so we're going to go back in the beginning before you and I. Before the creation of Adam, when it was his Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost was brooding over the face of the waters. Remember that? In Genesis, and he's brooding, hovering, brooding, waiting to hear the voice of the Father. The Father spoke it. The Lord and the Holy Spirit set it in motion and began to create as soon as the Father spoke it. Amen? There was more than just a spoken word of God. There was a substance that the Lord himself was working with. And that substance is very important. Romans 1, verse 20. All right? So watch this. So the Lord, he's working, say, now the invisible things from the creation of the world. So when the world was created, there were some invisible things going on that brought that creation forward. Things you can't see, but they were employed. He said, the visible things of the creation world. I love this scripture. It's one of my favorites of all times. The visible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen. You're clearly seen by you and I with the eye, but they're not clearly seen until they came into creation. What? Being understood by the things that were made, even his eternal dunamis, say dunamis, that word power is dunamis, power and the Godhead. So it says the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal dunamis power. So dunamis power, invisible, was being employed by the Lord, who was the creator of the earth. I'm the Holy Spirit that was brooding over the face of the water. And as soon as the Father spoke, the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, with dunamis creative power that was fully in his possession, say fully in his possession, created every living thing. Every living thing came out. He called it out. Amen. I mean, land, agriculture, animals, you and I were creation of God. Even dunamis power, when the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary's womb, he said the Holy Spirit and dunamis power overshadowed her womb. Everything God does when he creates with dunamis. Amen. And the Lord possessed that dunamis before you and I were ever part of the equation. Amen. He used it to create before man was created. He was operating and functioning with dunamis. He had it fully in his possession. Amen. It was his. It was his. He owned it. Praise God. But then God creates man. What's the first thing God says to man? Be fruitful and multiply. Say, be fruitful and multiply. Have dominion. First thing, God, I create you. First mandate of God is to be fruitful, to multiply, have dominion. That was the mandate of God. What was the first thing he did in cutting the covenant with Abraham to swear to his own son in Genesis 22? The first thing, because I can swear by no greater, I swear to you down through Abraham's loins that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. God reestablishing the mandate. Okay, I went too fast through that. Go to Genesis chapter 1. God creates. He's creating with dunamis creative power. Creates Adam. Amen. God said, let man be made in our image. Verse 26, after our likeness. Let him have dominion. Say, let him have dominion. Let him have dominion. He said, now be fruitful. Verse 28, God blessed them. Say, he blessed them. And blessing what? I will bless thee. Now watch. I'm going to show you a correlation between man's original creation and God reestablishing that. So God created man in his own image, male and female, verse 28, and God blessed them. So he blessed them. And God said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and have dominion and subdue it. Amen. So man was given this operation of dominion. He was given the operation to be fruitful and to multiply. It was a natural blessing that was upon man in the very creation. Man was supposed to be fruitful and multiply, have dominion. It was the original blessing God gave to man. Amen. Now, when God did that, he told the devil, on your belly shall you go, dust shall you eat. It wasn't like he's crawling around on dust. He said, see, man was made of the dust of the ground. He says, now on dust you'll go. What God did is he lowered Lucifer's rank below man's. And when he lowered Lucifer's rank below man, Lucifer, the fallen angels, could not just come and wipe out people. He couldn't do it without using a man to do it with. The devil can't just go and kill somebody without man's authority. He has to use somebody to do that. If he could, he would have wiped out every nation already. He has to use somebody because he has to use borrowed authority to do that with. But he stole Adam's dominion. He stole that blessing. He stole it. from Adam. So what God did, what was his first mandate when he made man? I want you to see it again. He makes man. Verse 26. Let man be made in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, the cattle, the earth, every creeping thing. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female, and God blessed them. Second thing he did, he said, have dominion, and then he blesses them. He says, be fruitful and multiply. That blessing that was on man, it was to be fruitful and multiply. It was a natural blessing God put upon man. It was supposed to be natural. It wasn't supposed to be worked for. It wasn't supposed to be labored for, only under the sweat of the brow, under the curse. When man fell, God said, then he says, cursed is man. He said, the sweat of the brow you'll eat all the days of your life. That's not the way God set it up in the beginning. He set it up under the blessing. Everyone say, the blessing. To be fruitful. And you were supposed to be fruitful and multiply. That's a God-given inheritance. Amen. To have dominion, to be fruitful, and to multiply. Amen. God's really working on me with this. So, God has a dilemma here. Man falls. God's going to come back in. All right? He's got to get back in there to retrieve, say retrieve, what God originally gave to man. He's got to go retrieve it. How does he do that? He's got to take upon the nature of man. Did not take upon the nature of angels. He took upon the nature of Abraham, of the seed of Abraham. He has to go in. So what's the first thing he does? He goes, I got to come in as a man to retrieve the blessing. Because I gave it to man, I've got to take it back as a man. Amen? So he goes in. He's got to retrieve what was stolen. Can you just see how much God loves us? I mean, all he had to do is kick us to the curb right there. He said, you're done. But he didn't. He went through some great lengths to get back his original mandate because God doesn't give up. When God has a plan, he's got a plan. That's it. He doesn't give up on his plan. I mean, he'll work thousands of years just to get his plan back in motion. He wants his plan back. What's his plan? For man to be fruitful, to multiply, and have dominion. It was pretty simple. The enemy messed that up. So God gets Abraham, comes in there, cuts the covenant with Abraham, and swears. Go to Genesis 22. Now we're going to go back in here now. So now we're going to pull Genesis 22 into Genesis 1 together because it's the plan of God. He did not deviate. He's restoring now. Right? Be fruitful and multiply. Now, here God comes. He comes to Abraham. He says, all right, I want to get back in. The first thing, he always look at what he says. What did he say first? He starts telling him in chapter 12, in thy seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. In chapter 13, chapter 15, chapter 17, kings will come out of thee. Nations are going to come out of you. And then chapter 22, he culminates it. The Father is reinstituting the original blessing that upon man. Through Abraham. So he calls Abraham up. He says, by myself I've sworn. We've been in this, but watch this. All it takes is one revelation to start prospering. All it takes is one revelation to start multiplying. But you have to have a revelation of this. Knowledge alone is not going to get you there. It's a revelation that's born in the heart, carried in the heart, that stays in the heart, meditated from the heart, that's going to cause you to sink up. Amen. Tonight I want to sink you up. The Lord wants to sink you up. Amen? Whew, he's teaching me how to sink up to things in the spirit now. Not just presence. I'm sinking up to inheritance now. Amen? Woo! Glory to God. Genesis 22. And said, by myself. Now, to really understand what he's saying there, you got to go to Hebrews 6. He says, because God could swear by no greater, he swore to himself. Say, to himself. Here he says, by myself, I'm swearing. What he's saying, to myself, I'm swearing. To myself. Some of you hadn't heard this. You need to hear it tonight. To myself, I swear, saith the Lord, because you've done this thing, Abraham, if not without thy son, thy only son, then in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven. and thy sand which is upon the seashore, thy seed will possess the gate of his enemy. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So thy seed, thy seed, thy seed. Right? Because I can swear by no greater, I swear to my seed I'm going to do this. So God's talking to Abraham. Abraham's getting in on it, but who's he talking to? We know now. Who's he talking to? He's talking. How do we know that? Because Galatians tells us. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but thy seed, Galatians 3, thy seed which is one. He says, I'm really not talking to all your seed, all they're going to get in on it. I'm talking to one seed down through your loins that's going to inherit everything that I'm swearing today. Why? Why? He says, to thy seed, singular, say thy seed. So Genesis, when God the Father was swearing, goes, by myself I have sworn. I'm swearing to my seed in your loins, Abraham, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. What's he doing? Reestablishing the Genesis one blessing to man. He's swearing it right back in now. Do you see that? God, just like a judge, will swear you in. He says, I'm swearing the blessing right back in to man now. Did you see that? He gave it in Genesis 1. Now Jesus is in the loins of Abraham, because I could swear by no greater. I will swear to myself, Father, I'm swearing to my son in your loins, Abraham. He's coming down to your loins. And I'm not talking to many seeds. I'm talking to one seed. Say one seed. I am reinstituting the blessing of Genesis 1 right now. What was stolen, I call it right back in. That's how Abraham could prosper right there. That's why Isaac could prosper. That's why they could prosper unimaginable prosperity. That's how they had authority, because God reinstituted the blessing right there. Even though he wasn't born, he was in the loins. I swear I will do this. Say, I swear. Say, I swear. Thy seed will possess the gates of his enemy. He did. I will multiply thy seed as, why? As the nations of the earth, the sand of the seashore. Why? The multiplication. It was the original blessing. God does not deviate his plan. He changeth not. The enemy came in, stole it, and God said, I swear it back in. He didn't promise it back in. He swore it back in. Somebody say amen. So I'm about to shoot out of this place. Hallelujah. I swear it back in. As soon as God swore it back in, it was done. As soon as the Father swore it back in, Genesis 1 blessing was reinstituted. Dominion was reinstituted that day, because the Father swore to his own son, I'm going to do it. And he cannot, because he can swear by no greater. He just swore to himself he's going to do it. And he did it. Say, he did it. He reinstituted the dominion when Daniel 7 saw him ascend before the Ancient of Days. I saw one like the Son of Man ascend before the Ancient of Days. And what? There was given unto him what? Dominion and a kingdom and a nation. And it was a what? Everlasting. Go to Daniel 7. Daniel, what did I say? Daniel 7. See, now God swore it. Boy, he was trying to get this over to me. Now I realize what he was doing. He was reinstituting the Genesis 1 blessing. I didn't see that till now. He had reinstituted his plan. Devil stole it. God said, all right, I'll swear it back in. I'll swear it back in through my son. Because I can swear on a greater, I'll just swear to him in Abraham's loins and reinstitute it right there. And if I swear, when God swears, it's done. It's done. So watch, Daniel sees the dominion reestablished. Watch this. Christ himself had all this before. What did he have in creation? Dunamis. Right? What did he give? Let us make man in our image. After our likeness, he gave man what? Dominion, because that was the image of God, to walk in dominion. He gave it to man as a gift. The enemy stole it. God said, all right, I'll swear it back in. Whoa. Now Jesus is doing all this. This is part you got to understand. He's doing all this for you. He's doing it all for you. God did it all. He gave his son to reinstitute his original mandate. Not changing anything. Hallelujah. All right, Daniel 7. We saw this, but now you see it in a new light. See how Revelation just shows it to you differently? All you need is a revelation. Hallelujah. Verse 13, and I saw in the night visions of behold, one like the Son of Man came in the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days. Daniel's watching the ascension of Christ. And they brought him near before him. And there was what? Given him what? What's the first thing that was given to him? Dominion. Why? Because he reinstituted Genesis 1 blessing of dominion and multiplication and increase. Amen? As soon as he went up to the Father, Daniel saw the Father answer his own swearing. I swear I'm going to reestablish the dominion. I swear I'm going to reestablish the blessing. I swear I'm going to reestablish the multiplication. I swear I'm going to reestablish all of it. I'm going to give it all back. And Daniel, what's the first thing he gave him? The very first thing when he entered the Father, dominion. Christ received the dominion. See, the dominion that was lost. He received the dominion. What? It was an everlasting dominion now. Why? Because when Christ received it, he ascended far above the principalities and powers of this age. He received it in a place that the principalities, the powers, and the devil himself can have no access to. He received it in the right hand of the Father, whereby he has blessed us what? With what? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He received it. He kept telling me this today. He goes, I did this for you. I did this for you. I did this for you. He kept saying it to me over and over again. I already had this. He goes, I did it all for you. I received it all for you. Worthy is the Lamb what? To receive what? Power. Dunamis. What's the first thing the Holy Spirit brought with him? The first, when Jesus was taken up and they were waiting, 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 Holy Spirit comes down. What's the first thing he comes down with? Holy Ghost and what? Dunamis, creative power. The reestablishment of dunamis. Dunamis, dominion, increase, multiplication, kingdom of God in the earth, fully reestablished. Because God could swear by no greater. He swore it in, Christ received it, and God wants to do it all again now in our generation. He wants to do it all again. Say, do it all again. He wants us to be fruitful, multiply, have dominion. Worthy is the Lamb who has received what? Dunamis, creative power. What's the second thing he did? Riches. Be fruitful and multiply. Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. God wants your life. And every part of your life filled with all of that. Oh, that is what to pray, by the way. Where to pray is in the presence of the Father. How to pray. You have to have revelation of it. You have to know. I mean, he is just all over me with this. He said something to me I'm going to say to you tonight. I got to take you to the scripture. But he kept saying, I did this for you. I did this for you. All of this is for you. He meant all of us, but he kept talking to me like, he did this for you. I said, wait, you did this for me? He goes, I had this before you were even part of the equation. I went and got all this for you. I went and retrieved it. I came down through Abraham's loins to retrieve it for you. I am still fulfilling the Father's mandate for man to have dominion and man what? To be fruitful and man to walk. What was the thing? In blessing, I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply Christ in you. Isn't that glorious? Oh, somebody give him glory. Hallelujah. Go back now to Galatians 3 because he said something to me. He is getting this over. See, the more you get a revelation, the more you believe it. You have to believe it. Amen? How do you believe? How do I believe in these seven inheritances? Make sure I tell you that tonight. How do I actually believe? Because right now you're getting knowledge and even revelation knowledge imparted to you. But how do I believe? Believing is more than knowledge. Amen? I'm going to tell you again how to believe the seven inheritance. How do I believe? What must man do to work the works of God? What must man do to receive the dominion and operate in the blessing and increase in divine multiplication? Jesus would say it again. I'm telling you, if he walked in this room and you asked him that question, he's not going to tell you anything different than he told them originally. What must we do to work the works of God? He said, believe. So we have to learn how to believe. The first part of believing is to know. Say to know. It belongs to you. To know that he has finished it and settled it. Say, it's finished. If he did it for the Lord, he's already fulfilled his oath. The Father already fulfilled it. That's the first thing you got to know. He fulfilled it. Say, fulfilled it. It's been retrieved. It's been retrieved. It's been retrieved. Amen. He kept saying, I did this for you. I did it for you. Look at your neighbor said, it's for me. Now, he said something to me. Before my battery goes out, I've got 1%. I'm going to get this scripture here. I'm in 1% right now. I want you to see this. Are you ready? Galatians 3, verse 8, verse 16. And to Abraham and his seed, where the promise is made, he saith not in the seeds of many, but as one thy seed, which is what? Christ. So we know that's who the Father was talking to. Verse 29. And if you be Christ, say if you be Christ. Now go back to the 16 for a minute. Now to Abraham and his seed, say his seed. The promise is made. He saith not the seeds of many, but as one, which is Christ. So we know the Father was speaking to Christ in Abraham's loins. Now watch this. Verse 29. You're not going to believe what the Lord said to me tonight on this. He said, if you be Christ, then what? You are what? Abraham's seed. He says, you're not part of the seed. You are the seed. You are the seed. And you're the heir of that promise. And here's what he said to me. I was sitting there meditating. He goes, the Father didn't just swear it to me. He swore to you. He said, I want you to say that. I'm like, what? Father, you swore to me that you would bless me. You swore to me that you would multiply me as the sand of the seashore. This takes a little bit of renewing of the mind, I know. And as the stars of the heaven, that what? That Christ in me would possess the gates of my enemies. That all the enemies that have dogged my track, the spiritual enemies, that Christ would possess those gates. And the Father swore to me he's going to do this. Because what? I'm Abraham's seed. Am I not Abraham's seed? Are you Abraham's seed? Then was the Father swearing to you? Before you were ever born, before Christ was born, the Father was swearing to himself he would do it. Before Christ was born, the Father was swearing to you before you were born he was going to do this for you. That's what God wants you to see. He swear by no greater. I swear to you, I'll do it for you. That's where you got to get over that hump. Some people are not going to make it over that hump. But we're going to make it over that hump. Amen? And he goes, I swore to you. And I hear the Father saying, I swore to you I would do this. I swore to you you would receive dominion. The Son, Christ, he is what? The firstborn of many brethren, he says, he's not ashamed to call you, what? Brethren. He said he ascended on high. He said the Father exalted him far above principalities and powers. Far above, say far above. And you hath he quickened together with Christ. Say he quickened together with Christ. Together with Christ. He quickened us together with him. We are joint heirs with him. You must believe in the joint heirship. See, everybody can believe it when it comes to the Lord, but they can't get themselves in there. That's the problem with the belief system. They can't get you in there. They can get Jesus in there, no problem, but you. And you hath he quickened together with Christ. You say, you hath he quickened together. He couldn't get it. He goes, I swore to you. And he says, say that. That was hard for me to do. I'm just standing thinking, Father, you swore to me. Because I'm in Christ. I understand I'm in Christ. I understand that the Father's meeting me in the mediator of Christ. But the Father's swearing. that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply, and you will have dominion in the earth. I swear it. Can you, I know that upsets some religious apple cart. I get it. It shakes up the cart a little bit. That's why you got to keep rolling it, keep rolling it, keep rolling it, and keep rolling it until you agree. And you choose what? Till I agree. Until everything in me accepts that I am now a bona fide joint heir of Christ, which he's not what? Ashamed to call me. Consider it not robbery to be made equal. Consider it not robbery what? I'm gonna show it to you. I want you to go to Ephesians real quick. Ephesians 2. We haven't been over here in a while. See this? Then I'm going to go to Romans 2. I want you to see it. It requires a renewing of the mind to walk in this. Amen? Verse 4, God who is rich in mercy for his great love, Ephesians 2 and 4. I want you to put your religion on the shelf for a minute. God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin. Even when we were dead in sin, he was already working his plan, sending his son, swearing to him, I'm going to restore all things. And then what? He quickened us together with Christ. When Christ ascended in, we ascended in. When Christ received the dominion, we received the dominion. When Christ received all that the Father has now is mine, we received it in him. You got to go past seeing that Christ got it. You got to see that you got it. He did it for you. He kept saying, I did it for you. I did it for you. I did it for you. If God wanted to leave us without it, Jesus would have never had to go retrieve it. Even when we were dead in sin, Christ hath quickened us together with Christ. In what? Verse 6. Raised us up. Say, raised us up. Say, raised us up. Raised us where? Raised us up. He didn't leave us there in a dominionless state. He went and retrieved it. And then he ascended to the Ancient of Days. And he says, come on up in here now. He raised us up. Together. Say together. You got to get used to together. Together in heavenly places. Why? Because that's where it's all at. That's the position of prayer. Come into the heavenly places where I have blessed you with what? All. Go to Ephesians 1 real quick. I know some of you know this, but it's good to see it. All, say all. Verse 3, Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who what? Hath blessed us. Say what? Hath blessed us. Say hath. Not going to have. That's the frequency of where it is. Where it is. The position hath blessed us with all. Say all. Anna was on that earlier. All. Say all. Spiritual blessing in what? Heavenly places. In that not only he hath blessed us, then he raised us up into it. In Ephesians 3, he raised us up into the restored dominion. Raised us up into the place where he swore he would do it. Isn't that awesome? Swore he would do it. It's already there. Well, where is it? It's right there. Which can be right here. Which can be out here. Amen? You're going to have to come to the place where you agree. You keep cycling and cycling and cycling, and then what happens? Your spirit grabs it. I agree. All right, Hebrews. Hebrews 2. Now, this is whole. Hebrews 1's all about his preeminence over the angels, but then he talks about his position with us. It's pretty awesome. Hebrews 2. Very awesome. Very awesome chapter. Okay, verse 6. All right. Hebrews 2, verse 6, stay with me. I'm holding this word, all this revelation, because I'm realizing we are Genesis 1 people now. We are original dominion mandated people. And there's not anything that Adam had that we don't have now. That we have a full right to operate in fullness of dominion, authority, increase, and the original mandate to be fruitful and multiply is on us. And it's fixing to get all over this church. It's fixing to get all over your life. It's going to get on your finances. It's going to get on your children. It's going to get everywhere you go. You're going to be walking in dominion, increase, and divine multiplication in Christ in you for salvation, miracles, signs, wonders, blessings, increase, all of it. It's going to be on you. Seven inheritances is going to be on you all the time. That's what he's after now. He's already built the blueprint. Now it's time to walk in it. Praise God. You want to know what the blueprint is? Get on the website. The blueprint's laid. It's time for the building to come up now. All right, Hebrews 2, verse 6. I hear the Spirit of the Lord says, those that will hear have ears to hear in this time. You'll have to have ears to hear. There are a lot of people that could not hear what the Lord said. You know how many people walked away from him? His own disciples walked away from him. He turned to his 12 and said, you're going to walk away too? Because they didn't have ears to hear. The Lord himself was speaking and they could not hear it. Listen, the true revelations of God is a very high place. You're going to acclimate to the altitude. Amen? This is not Cheerios and milk time. It's meat. Meat belongs to what? Full age. You got to decide, am I going to come into full age and chew the meat, or am I going to live on milk all my life? Milk is easily digestible. That's why places that dispense the milk has a lot of people in there, because it's easy to digest. Milk is not, meat is not the strong meat. It's not, there's meat and then there's strong meat. We're getting into strong meat. Say strong meat belong to what? Full age. It's the full age that are going to get the job done in the last hour. Amen. Amen. Verse 6. But one in a certain place, Hebrews 2, testified, saying, what is man if thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man if thou visitest him? Now, this is the Lord. He's speaking to the Lord, but what's the Lord doing? He's doing it all for us. We're all in him when he was doing this. All right? Thou madest him what? A little lower than the angels. The Lord was made lower than the angels. At one time, he was made lower than the angels. That was in his suffering of death. He had to be lowered below the angels. All right? He went into hell, suffered in our place, and then what? Crowned him. The Father brought him out and crowned him. Say, he crowned him with glory and honor. And then what? Did set him over the works of thy hands. See the dominion reestablished there? All in one scripture. Did the whole thing right there. Death, burial, resurrection, all in one scripture right there. Lifted him up, crowned him with glory and honor, crowned him, then set him over the works of his hands. What did he do? He just reestablished the Genesis 1 blessing at the resurrection of Christ. The fullness of it was promised and sworn in Abraham. It was completed at his resurrection. The Genesis 1 blessing was reestablished at the resurrection of Christ when the Father crowned the firstborn with glory, honor, and dominion right there and set him over the works of his hands. See that? All right, that was Christ, right? Thou hast put all things in subjection under him. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, there was left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for the suffering of death. See, now he's explained the scripture. Crowned with glory and honor. And he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, for it became him. Say, it became him. He did it for this reason. Say, he did it for this reason. I did it for you. I did it for you. I did it for you. Wake up, everybody! I'm about to give you something. Shake yourself! Amen. It became him. Say, it became him. For whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing what? Many sons unto glory. Say, many sons unto glory. I did it to bring you back into the glory. I did it to bring you back into the glory. It became me to suffer to bring you so I could ascend into the Father so you could ascend into the Father. I did it to reestablish your position. Verse 11, both he that's sanctified and they that are sanctified are all what? One. Firstborn and you are now one. Father, keep that life on this place. I sense the enemy trying to put people to sleep. I command that veil to be broken in the name of Jesus. The enemy certainly doesn't want you hearing this. They that are sanctified and he that sanctified are one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call you brethren. Say, I'll declare my name unto the brethren in the midst of the church. And again, I'll put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God had given me. For as much then he is, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, even the devil, and deliver them who through of death were all their lifetimes subject to the bondage. For verily he took not upon him the nature of angels, but he took upon him what? The seed of Abraham. Why, wherefore, in all things that behooved him to be made like to his brethren, that he might be a merciful high priest for the things pertaining to God. Isn't that awesome? We have been made equal. Say equal. Raised together. Made to sit together in a restored Genesis 1 dominion. Say restored Genesis 1, man, God gave it, man lost it. God swore it, Christ received it. Christ received it, Christ gave it. Man received it, man now has it. Amen? I'll say it again. God gave it, man lost it. God swore it, Christ received it. Christ received it, Christ gave it. We received it, we give it. We have received the blessing. The Genesis 1 blessing to be fruitful and multiply, because we could swear by no greater. God swore to himself and in blessing, I will now bless thee. He swore to you. Say, he swore to you. He swore to me. I am now fully determined to walk in it. I am fully determined to walk in it. It is mine. I know where it is. I know where to pray. How to pray, and what to pray. I'm not praying for God to do it. He's already done it. I don't need to shout from him in the earth to do it. He's already done it. What I need to take my spiritual energy and ascend into the right hand of God, sit down with him, hold that word into my heart, acknowledge that word through awareness until he sinks my spirit up to the place where all that already is, because he hath blessed us. Say, hath. Sink our spirit up to the seven inheritances until that dominion starts flowing again. Isn't that awesome? And that's where we be right now. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Come on, Carlos. That's where we be. Sinking up to Genesis 1. Hallelujah. I believe, Lord. I believe. I believe. I believe. Hallelujah.
You know, I was looking at the fact that, like, the Father took us into his love, and he trained us how to dwell in his love, that we're one in him, we're one with Christ, we're in the Father. So he was teaching us oneness, because we needed to understand how to receive through his love. And then now I hear Pastor, and I see the way God is now bringing us into revelation of inheritance so that we can walk in it, because he's already... Through his love, he's perfecting us to be able to receive. Because before that, I mean, even if we understand these things, without his love, we can't receive. We feel like we're not worthy. That's Christ. Yeah, he got all that. But now that he's repositioned us, then now he's trained us so that we can walk in inheritance. And by the way, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that we're new creations. So see yourself as one. I mean, that's one of the very foundational things. You need to know that you're one with Christ. When he sees you, he sees himself in you. Because we're one. DNA, spiritual DNA, we're one with. Amen.
Oh, man. Basically, I just want to add one little small thing here. Because the word gets confirmed. Paul confirms the word in Galatians 3 before he even gives it. Before he even gives it, he confirms his word. He says, 1 Corinthians, remember we were in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham. But in verse 13, what does he say? He says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. And we always think that's the law of Moses, but that's not the situation he's addressing. Because of what is the next statement is, verse 14, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. So that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So I received the promise that was given to Abraham. All that happened before the law. Moses even existed. He's talking about, he's redeeming you past going before, back to Genesis 1, because all the other things that happened, the law happened in Genesis 3. So he's taking you back past Genesis 3 into Genesis 1 when he redeemed you from the curse of the law. And it's just a confirmation of what he did with all the rest of it.
That's awesome. Yeah, the law of sin and death. See, the two laws are the law of sin and death, and there's the law of Moses. God redeemed us from the law of sin and death. Restored us back to our rightful place. Isn't that glorious? He swore, listen to me. He swore, get this, he swore that he's going to do this for you. He has sworn. I'm like, God, why did not more people get this? He goes, they have to believe it. Say, they have to, hold on. They have to believe it. Say, I have to believe it. Say, have to believe it. You got to believe it. That's why he kept saying, I did this for you. I did. The Holy Spirit's now convincing us who we are. Because it's hard for us to accept the fact we're that high. We are up there. Amen. Come on, Carlos. Pastor Carlos.
That's perfect what I was going to share right now. The other part that I was going to share is that in the light of God's picture, when Christ finished the work at the cross and he sent out the disciples, the church was operating in the office of the priest throughout the times. And because we're in a fullness of times now God is introducing kingship. But in order to walk in it, we need to have revelation.
Got to have the understanding of the dominion to walk in the kingship. Isn't that awesome? Dominion's been restored, but we got to believe it and get it rolling. Hang on, we're going to teach you how to do that. Got to understand what the Lord did. He wasn't ashamed to call us a brother. To be brethren now, because he had to restore us. He had to take upon our nature. And now he lifted us up. When the Father lifted him up, he lifted us up into that. Got to know that's the position more than the head. Now where we're going to go next is we're understanding is where to pray. We've been all over that for years. What to pray. Now we know what to pray. The restoration. Not to pray for God to do. He's already done it. But understanding the dominion, the seven inheritances, and how to praise next. How do I get the seven inheritances, the dominion, flowing back in? Amen? We've got the renewing of the mind. We know where to pray. We know what to pray. How to pray. Not ask God to do it. He's already done it. How do I sync up to it? Sync up. I gotta be in the position. I know what to pray, but now how? How do we sync up? Amen? You've been teaching us that too. We're getting ready. We're getting ready. I mean, Victoria, she caught it yesterday. She goes, man, God is about to do something. He is releasing these revelations because he's about. Yesterday, we got caught up. There's people left. But right at the end, I mean, God just come up and sat down on us. It's like he was hearing us and we knew he was listening to us. Now he's going to teach us how to walk in this. How to receive it, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How to get it from there in riches and glory to here. And he's sinking. And it's all about how to sink your spirit up into the place that it's already done. Amen. How do I sync up? And you need to start hanging out here, because that's what he's after now. Syncing us up into the place it's already done so he can move it into the earth. Amen. Those of you that really, really know what's going on here, know what God's doing now. Just like, see, Carlos caught it. He knew that God had to get us to his love to deal with our orphan issues. Now we get reestablished as sons. You can't be an heir if you don't know you're a son. If you don't have your sonship, you can't go from an orphan to an heir. You have to go from an orphan to a son to an heir. You see that? And as you go from orphan to son, see, the father's going to get that sonship solidified to bring what? The worth and the value. The dominion doesn't bring worth and value. The love of the father brings worth and value. You see that? And once my worth and my value comes from the father, God says, now you're ready to walk in joint heirship now. Because I'm not going to find my value through what he's doing through me. I'm going to find my value, what he's doing in me, in love. Now he can trust us. Now, but he's loved us. See, that whole season, if you don't know what that season about, start listening to the recent teachings. We haven't changed them for a year and a half now. Because since we hit the Father's love, and now he's about to move us into the age of joint heirship. The operations of kingly, priestly, joint heirship in the full restoration, the water horse is about to start running.
And then talking about the rest, in Hebrews 4:3, it says, those that believe, and saying the positive way, those that believe have entered into the rest. So until you get to that position of rest, you're not in a state of believing. When Romans 15:13 says we're filled with all joy and peace in believing, we're abounding in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The litmus test of believing is you have a spirit of joy and you've entered into the rest of God. And that's the dwelling place of the Lord. He is in constant rest, constant joy. That's why we had to learn about the lily's grace, so that we could position ourselves and rest, to position ourselves to receive and to become like those worms that are transformed in the caterpillar of the new creature in Christ. It's not just joint heirship. It's one ship. We are one in one ship with the Lord. We are hidden in Christ in the Father. That's Colossians 3:3. We are called to be as joint heirs, as one, one.
Isn't that glorious? I know some of you got to go home, but I'm sitting here when she's sitting there, and the Lord's just speaking to me. He says, do you understand that dunamis is an inheritance? He goes, dunamis is the very creative foundation by which all things are created. Every single creative miracle in the last days will be performed through dunamis power. He says, I've given this to you as an inheritance. It's the highest inheritance, and that's the first thing I gave when the Holy Spirit dropped, was dunamis, the restoration of dunamis. The first thing he received, the first thing that was given. What's the first thing, where's the lamb? He received what? Dunamis. What's the first thing he gave? Dunamis. Holy Spirit, behold, you will receive what? Dunamis power. Behold, I will restore dunamis power. He said it's an inheritance. It's free. When it starts operating our life, you'll start seeing it's the mystery of the creative. It comes through the oneness with the Lord and understanding how that, listen to me, understanding how that dunamis is coming out of the right hand of God into the earth, you'll start seeing creative miracles. And the Lord said it like this. He goes, which is easier, to say, get up, rise from your bed and walk, or to get saved? Your sins are forgiven, or to rise up from your bed? From the Lord, getting someone saved was just, and get someone out of a 50-year deathbed was all the same to him. Why? He knew how it worked. And the Lord said, you're going to know how it works in the last days. You'll be able to get someone saved. You'll be able to, in the name of Jesus, get somebody out of the wheelchair. And it will all be the same operation. Because dunamis has been given as an inheritance.